بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Tonight, inshallah, this is our sixth session, session number six, reading from Tawakkul, Haqiqat al-Tawakkul, by the Shaykh al-Alama Salih ibn Fawzan, ibn Abdullah al-Ali Fawzan, hafidhahullah. The topic, any trust and reliance upon Allah, the reality of trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, we're going to continue with the topic that we have been dealing with for the last couple of sessions, that is the necessity of combining or joining between the matter of at-tawakkul ala Allah along with utilizing the means, the asbab. Before we read from the topic for tonight, quickly, we're going to just go back and look at some of the topics that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being, discuss Umar radiallahu anhu's statement to those sitting in the masjid for worship while abandoning seeking their rizq or provisions. Yani, what did Umar say and what was intended by his speech to those people? Now, Abdul Wali.
He said, for sure, you know, the heavens neither rain gold nor silver. Mm-hmm. And his objection was that they were sitting there dependent on other people when they had the means to seek the asbab themselves.
No. Mm-hmm. And he said to the people that surely, indeed, certainly, you know, all of you know, that the heavens does not rain gold or silver, meaning a person's provisions that they need to live by are not going to come down from the sky. Rather, yani, it is upon a person to make an effort to seek their means and to utilize the legitimate lawful means to achieve that. And so he was rebuking those people, scolding those people for sitting in the masjid, not just because they were sitting in the masjid, because this is an act of worship, to go to the masjid, to perform the prayers, to worship Allah. But rather he was scolding them because they were merely sitting in the masjid, and only sitting in the masjid, and they were not having any desire to go out and seek their means. So he was commanding them to get up after the worship and go out and make some effort to seek the means of your livelihood. And the second question, discuss briefly the circumstances of the revelation of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, Second Surah, 197th ayat, where Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. And what were, in brief, the circumstances under which this ayah was revealed? Yani, وَتَزَوَّدُوا. Now?
So people from Yemen would leave and they would go for Hajj, and they wouldn't take anything with them, and the Sayyidina Abdul says they wouldn't want to watch
it. Now, some people from Yemen who were going for Hajj to perform the pilgrimage, they were traveling from Yemen to the places of Hajj, to Mecca and Medina, and they were not taking provisions with them, claiming that they were mutawakkilun ala Allah, that they were those who depend and rely upon Allah, and that their means would come to them without them carrying anything with them. So this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, commanding them to seek their provisions, to seek their provisions that they need in this world for traveling, food and clothing and things like this. And he also added to it, the fact that the best of provisions is at-taqwa. The third question is related to this particular ayat as well. Discuss briefly the two types of risk or provisions indicated in the above ayat, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 197. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Seek your provisions, carry your provisions with you, and indeed the best of provisions is at-taqwa. What are the two types of provisions mentioned in this ayat? Naam, talib.
Provisions for the dunya and the provisions for the hereafter.
Naam, the provisions for the dunya and as well the provisions for the hereafter. What are the provisions for the dunya? Naam.
Food and drink and whatever.
Food and drink and clothing and whatever a person needs for traveling, whatever they need during a journey. And the provisions for the hereafter?
Taqwa.
Is a taqwa. So if we look at these few words, we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those people in terms of their abandoning the carrying of provisions for travel, which is a necessity. And Allah is also addressing on the other side another type of provision, that is provisions for the journey to the hereafter, and that is a taqwa. The fourth question, discuss the author's explanation of taqwa. Of taqwa being like a shield. Of taqwa being like a shield. Naam.
It is a shield from the punishment of Allah.
Shield from the punishment of Allah.
And it will protect you, and it will protect you from the fire.
And the protection from the fire. Now, that's how the Shaykh, the author, Hafidhullah, mentioned, yani he described the taqwa as being as a shield. Before that he mentioned, and he related to it, that a taqwa is fulfilling the awamir of Allah, fulfilling Allah's commands, and abandoning the prohibitions, yani the things that Allah has prohibited. And that, abandoning the things that are prohibited and fulfilling the obligatory duties, he said, is like a shield. Doing those things, fulfilling Allah's commands, and avoiding His prohibitions is like a shield. Yani it's a means of protection. A person's iman and righteous deeds are like a shield. They protect them from the punishment of Allah, from the anger of Allah, and from the hellfire. So this is how he described it, yani as being like a shield. Like a shield protects you from something that you fear harm from. So likewise, iman and amal as-salih protects a person from the thing that is most feared, and that is the displeasure of Allah, the anger of Allah, the wrath of Allah, and the punishment of Allah, the hellfire. Question number 5, memorize the hadith. If you were to place your tawakkul ala Allah with a true tawakkul, to the end of the hadith reported by Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. Somebody give us this hadith now.
لو أنكم كنتم توكلون عند الله
حق توكله
لا رزقتم كما
رزقكم نعم كما يرزق
طير
تبدو خماصا
تروح
بطانة. By the way, this hadith, as I mentioned last week, the wording that I was familiar with, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ. And one of the brothers who was here in the class last week sent me an email that he looked at hadith up and he found it in the Sahih Ibn Hibban with the wording that the Shaykh mentioned. يعني لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So it also came with that wording. Naam. So this hadith also, very important hadith. Sometimes we like to memorize some of these things, some ayahs from the Quran and some hadith, because of the importance of them. And all of them are important, but some bring some clarity to the issue that are really, really useful. The Prophet ﷺ in this hadith said that if you were to put your trust in Allah the way that He deserves, with the tawakkul that Allah deserves, then He would provide for you the same way He provides for the bird who goes out in the morning with an empty stomach and comes back in the evening with his stomach full. So this is a picture, an image that the Prophet ﷺ gave us. That's a clear image. And it really brings to our mind that which clarifies and helps us to understand what we need to be doing. And if anybody's concerned about their means, their livelihood, their sustenance, then this is a good picture of what we need to be doing, putting our trust in Allah totally, first and last. Question number 6, explain what it is that the author calls us to take note of in this hadith. Yani, at the end of his discussion of this hadith, he tells us to make note of something in this hadith. What is it that,
that the bird did not just sit in its nest, but yet it went out seeking its means, and utilizing and exerting itself in its efforts to attain its goal.
Naam, that the bird didn't just sit in its nest. It didn't remain in its nest, but it exerted itself. It went out. It went to the places where the provisions are, and it searched for its provisions. It made, and it utilized the means to achieve, the goal. And this is, a good example of, what is required of everyone. Even the creatures, Allah's creatures, He has created in them, in their nature. This knowledge, this consciousness, this awareness, that they have to actually get up and go out and seek their means, and then He will and provide for them. And the same thing for us, we also have to make some effort. The last two questions are related to notes that we mentioned at the end of the class related to the subject. Question number 7 is, list the 3 aqsam, the divisions of ta'alluq, of the heart to other than Allah, that was mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. The 3 divisions of ta'alluq. Naam, Talib.
The first was the attachment to other than Allah that eliminates one from Islam.
Okay, the attachment to other than Allah that eliminates one from Islam. Yani that nullifies Tawheed, the foundation of Tawheed, the asl of Tawheed. And a little bit more specifically, he mentioned that that reliance is upon a means that cannot possibly have any effect in the affair. Yani it's something, it's not a means that in nature or in the physical world we know that this is has a cause and effect relationship. But it's rather something that couldn't possibly have any effect at all. And yet a person puts their trust in it totally and does not rely upon Allah at all. And he said this actually nullifies the Tawheed from its foundation. Nullifies the Tawheed from its foundation. Yani it takes a person out of Islam completely. Now,
the second one, it doesn't negate Tawheed completely. But its Tawheed is deficient. Trust in the means that has a legitimate effect, but they turn away from Allah by completely trusting in the means.
Now, they trust in some means that is legitimate. It does have some. Yani it's legislated in the Sharia or yani by the decree of Allah, we know that it does have some effect on things. But the person, they utilize legitimate means, but they put their trust totally in the means. And they don't put their trust in Allah, rather they don't turn their heart towards Allah at all. And he said this nullifies the perfection of Tawheed. It doesn't nullify Tawheed in its foundation, but it nullifies the perfection of Tawheed. It means that a person's Tawheed is defective, which indeed is an extremely dangerous affair. The Shaykh did say also that we don't say that this nullifies Tawheed completely because what? Because the person is using an established means. They're not just making up something, but they're using something that is confirmed in the Sharia or confirmed in the Qadr of Allah that this does have an effect. And the last type division he said is no.
The attachment is based on the means where the true reliance is upon Allah, knowing that nothing happens unless Allah rules.
No, that attachment, which is merely an attachment because of the fact that this thing is a legitimate means. It's confirmed in the Sharia, or it's confirmed in the Qadr, that this does have an effect. Person utilizes it for that reason, however, they don't put their trust in it at all. Rather, they put their trust in Allah totally. They put their trust in Allah totally, knowing that, yani that this is only a means and it doesn't have any effect except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he added here that the person believes when they utilize this means, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it have an effect or he can nullify its effect. That Allah is the one who controls the whole of the affair. Now, the last question is, list the 3 ahkam, rules or regulations related to asbab that were mentioned by Imam Sa'adi rahimahullah. 3 rules. Naam. The first one.
Do not use anything as a means unless it's confirmed Sharian or Qadarian.
Yani don't use anything. Don't utilize anything as a means unless it's confirmed. Either in the Sharia or it's confirmed yani in the natural order of things. Yani by the Qadr of Allah. And the second one.
That a person does not depend upon these means, but the one who causes these means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they use these means.
Now, the second rule is that a person, when they utilize legitimate means, lawful means, means that yani those things were known to have a cause and effect relationship, they don't rely upon those means, rather they rely upon the one who causes those things to have an effect. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, so they put their trust in Allah, not in the means. Because they know that these means don't have any ability in and of themselves to do anything. Naam. But they do utilize the means. And they seek the benefit from those means that are confirmed. Naam. The third one.
A person must know that no matter how operate the means are that they are subject to the qadr of Allah, no matter how great they are. And one, Allah can make these means act according to what He created them for, or Allah can change the cause if He will, so that people won't depend upon the means, but rather depend upon Allah. Nothing happens but by the will of Allah.
Now, mashallah. So the third one is the Shaykh, he gives a quite lengthy explanation here, but the main thing is what? That no matter how great, no matter how strong a cause or a means is, we must know for certainty that they are all means are tied to or subject to the qadha of Allah and His qadr. That everything, yani every means, whatever they are all subject to the qadha of Allah and His qadr. And they cannot go outside of that. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does whatever He wills. And He can make those things have an effect, or He can nullify their effect if He wills. And also the Shaykh, he said that, yani, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those means effective so that people would utilize them, because He commanded the people to utilize the means. And so that they would see in that the perfection of His wisdom, in that He made a relationship between the cause and the effect. And sometimes, if Allah will, He will make those means ineffective. And that is so that people will not be reliant upon the means. They will not be reliant upon the means. And therefore, they will see in that the perfection of Allah's power, that He can make it effective or ineffective. So, yani on both sides, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side, He sometimes makes the means effective, so that people will utilize them, because He made it like that they utilize it. But so that the people do not become dependent upon the means, He made it such that, if He will, sometimes they will not have any effect. And in this way, yani, they will see the wisdom of Allah in the cause and effect, and they will also see the perfection of the power of Allah, in that He is the one who makes it effective or ineffective. Now, so this is a summary of like some of the points that we covered last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with this same chapter. Yani, the importance of recognizing the necessity of combining between utilizing the asbab, fi'l al-asbab, and at-tawakkul ala Allah, putting one's dependence or reliance or trust and confidence in Allah. That these two things should go together. Last week, we stopped at the mention of the ayat, and that is on page 35 in English, and in Arabic on page 274. I'm just going to go back just a little bit to the ayat that we ended on last week, because we didn't actually yani continue with that part of the subject, but we stopped on the ayat where the Shaykh mentioned Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, 60th ayat. And this is right after the Shaykh mentioned the hadith about whoever, yani man ta'allaka shay'an ukila ilayhi, that whoever attaches their heart to something, then they will be entrusted to that thing to take care of them without any help or assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, the Shaykh said, so that's the person who put their trust in some means. They put their trust in some means instead of in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, the Shaykh said, but if the people abandon the means, and as they claim, just put their trust in Allah alone, then they are also mistaken, and they are in error. And they have not acted upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the people with. For indeed, Allah has ordered us Amra bi fi'l al-asbab. He ordered us to act upon, to utilize the means, the causes of things. And then that's when the Shaykh mentioned the ayah, and we stopped on this ayah. Qala ta'ala, wa'iddu lahum mastata'atum min quwwah. Yani, and prepare for them, yani the enemies, prepare for them whatever you are able to of power. Yani, make preparations for war. This particular ayat is the beginning of another example that the Shaykh gives. And in the beginning of this subject of combining between a tawakkul and utilizing the asbab, the Shaykh talked about the people who say, yani, if Allah intended for us knowledge, it would just come to us. We don't have to go out and seek knowledge. If Allah intended for us provisions, it would just come to us. We don't have to go out and seek provisions. He gave the example of the farmer who has to plant the seed and water it and attend to it so that the crops will grow. And he gave the example of a person who wants to have children, that they have to get married. And a person will say, if Allah intended for me to have children, they'll just come to me without getting married. The farmer, any crops will grow without planting or cultivating them. These are examples that the Shaykh gave, and he gave some, yani in the previous two sessions, some ayats from the Quran and some hadith that support, yani the rejection of this idea that we'll get anything without doing something, without utilizing the means. Here the Shaykh gives a final example in this particular topic, and that is the example of al-jihad. That as a means of defending the Muslims from the enemies of Islam, or as a means of yani the establishing the deen of Allah in the earth so that people can worship Allah alone, then jihad has been established. That this is a means to utilize to establish the deen of Allah in the earth, the tawheed of Allah, the worship of Allah alone in the earth. So he mentions this ayah as what? As an example, a proof from the Quran that utilizing the means is necessary along with putting your trust in Allah. So the Muslims, we will put our trust in Allah, absolutely, no doubt, but at the same time, it may be necessary to utilize the means of preparations for war. And that's part of the reality of life. There's no nation on earth, even the poorest of them, the smallest of them, except they have some kind of army, some kind of preparation, even if they know that the larger nations can easily defeat them. But they don't just say, we're not going to do anything, but they make some preparation. The Shaykh, after mentioning this ayah, and before that, before going into the discussion that follows, I just want to make a note here, and just for clarification. First of all, what follows, the example that the Shaykh brings, and the discussion concerning it, was not spoken in a vacuum. Rather, there's no doubt that if you look at the kalam, the speech of the Shaykh here, it is clear that he is emphasizing and re-emphasizing the importance of utilizing preparation for battle as a means that goes along with putting your trust in Allah when the Muslims are in need of that. There's no doubt that this speech, which originally was a speech that the Shaykh gave, was at a time when Muslims were under attack. And he was emphasizing to the Muslims the importance of not just putting your trust in Allah, not just calling upon Allah for help, but actually getting up and doing something. So if you look at this speech, you will begin to see that there was a great emphasis here on this particular point, and that was because of the need for it at the time when yani that speech was given. I just want to clarify though that concerning yani jihad in Islam, yani the Shaykh himself, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, in a research that's in the Majallat al-Buhuth al-Islamiyah, yani Islamic Researches magazine, in volume number 97, that was issued during the month of Rajab in the year 1433. And the title of the research was Al-Farq Bain al-Jihad wal-Irhab. Yani the title of this research was The Difference Between Al-Jihad and Irhab and Terrorism. Yani what is the difference between jihad in Islam and people who are just indiscriminately, unrestrictedly, out of control, just killing innocent people in the name of Islam, under the name of jihad, falsely representing yani Islam? What is the difference between them? So in this research, yani one of the topics was jihad, because the difference between jihad and irhab and terrorism. And under the fifth subtopic, the title was Shurut al-Jihad. So from the shurut of jihad that I mentioned is a taklif, that a person has to be from those who are responsible, who are obligated to fulfill duties. Al-Hurriya, person has to be free. Al-Qudra, person has to have the ability to actually participate in the jihad. Al-Dhukuriya, that a person has to be male. Wa idhn al-walidain, they have to have permission from their parents. And of course there's some discussion concerning this about any of the obligatory jihad and other than that. And the final condition that he mentions is idhnu wali al-amr, that jihad has to be with the permission or under the authority of the ruler of the Muslim state. Yani it's not a band of people or a group of people or a jama'ah or individuals just saying that we are going out fighting in jihad. This is not jihad. He was asked a question here related to this particular condition. Yani the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, was asked, what is the hukum of qital bidun ithn al-imam? What is the ruling concerning people going out fighting without permission from the imam, yani the Muslim ruler, the imam shar'i, the ruler of the state? And he said, لا يجوز ما دام أنه ليس للمجاهدين إمام شرعي. Yani that is not permissible for individuals or small groups or people on their own to just go out, yani claiming that they are going out in jihad. It's not permissible for them to do so as if they don't have an imam shar'i, yani imam that has been yani appointed, that has been set up according to the sharia, not just yani somebody on their own just setting themselves up. And this is because this people going out just fighting on their own indiscriminately, unrestrictedly, without any guidelines, this will bring upon the Muslims sharran wa dararan akthar mimma yatawaqqa'a min al-maslaha. Yani it will bring more evil and more harm upon the Muslims than what possibly could be expected of benefit. It will bring a greater harm than it will bring any benefit, and history yani points to this, recent history points to this reality. Therefore he said, فَلَا جِهَادَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. In Islam, there's no jihad. إِلَّا بِإِمَامٍ. Except that at the head of it is an imam. Yani a legitimate Muslim ruler. هَذِهِ هِيَ الْقَاعِدَ. This is the rule. Yani there's no jihad without an imam. Yani a legitimate Muslim ruler. وَهَذَا مِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى دُرُورَةِ النَّصْرِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. And this is from that which points to the necessity of yani the establishment of imams, yani that there be a Muslim ruler under which yani the affairs of the Muslims are conducted. The second note that I want to mention here is from al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah in his tafsir of Surah al-Anfal, 8th surah, 39th ayah. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ, to the end of the ayah. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ, and fight them, حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ, until there is no fitna in the earth, until fitna is removed. And the Shaykh mentions later on in this brief discussion that fitna, what is meant here, is whatever opposes the deen of Allah, whatever opposes tawheed, like shirk and that which is similar to it. That this is what he means by, yani, fight them until shirk is removed from the earth and whatever opposes the deen of Allah. وَيَكُونَ الدِّينَ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ, and fight them until the deen, all, yani every worship is for Allah alone. In this explanation of this particular ayah, the Shaykh says that which gives us a tremendous benefit, yani, before we go into the topic that we're going to be looking at tonight. He says, ذَكَرَ تَعَالَى الْمَقْصُودِ مِنَ الْقِتَالِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah mentions what is intended, what is the objective of fighting in His way, fighting in His cause, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is intended by it? What is the objective? قَاتِلُوهُمْ وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ, until there is no fitna. وَيَكُونَ الدِّينَ كُلُّهُ لَهُ, until the deen is established for Allah alone. This is the objective. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودِ بِهِ سَفْكَ دِمَاءَ الْكُفَّارِ وَأَخْذْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. That the objective is not shedding the blood of disbelievers. That's not the objective of fighting in the way of Allah. Shedding the blood of disbelievers. It's not the objective of fighting in the way of Allah, taking their wealth. That's not the objective. وَلَكِنَ الْمَقْصُودِ بِهِ أَيَكُونَ الدِّينَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. But what is the objective and what is intended is that the people, yani the worship, be for Allah alone. And in this way, yani, the deen of Allah will, yani, overcome and supersede every other, yani, way that the people claim, yani, the worship of anything other than Allah. And it will repulse everything that opposes the deen of Allah, including a shirk and whatever is similar to it, and this is what is intended by a fitna in the ayah. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, فَإِذَا حَصَلَ الْمَقْصُودِ فَلَا قَتْلَ وَلَا قِتَالَ. Yani the maqsood of fighting in the way of Allah is to establish the deen of Allah, to raise the kalima of Allah, yani the word of tawheed in the earth, to establish tawheed in the earth. That is the intended objective. He said, so when this objective is achieved, then there is no killing and there is no fighting at all. And in other words, the Shaykh is clearly stating here that fighting in the way of Allah has an objective. There's a goal. That goal is to establish the right of Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, the Lord of all the worlds, the supreme being, to establish His right alone to be worshipped, that all worship should be for Him alone. That is the objective. The objective is not to kill people, Muslims or non-Muslims. Because some of these people, they're killing Muslims, maybe more than they're killing non-Muslims. And they're claiming that this is some kind of jihad, establish some kind of Islamic state, and all this is falsehood and lies against Islam. So the Shaykh is saying here that this just killing people for the sake of killing and fighting for the sake of fighting has nothing to do with jihad in the way of Allah. Now,
Imam al-Sa'di says, also you have to give people, you have to call them to the deen before you start fighting.
Now, the people have to be invited to Islam because that is the real objective. And if people accept to worship Allah alone, then there's no need for to go any further. Because that is really the objective, to establish the purpose for which human beings have been created. That is the very purpose for which we were created, to worship Allah alone. And to establish that in the earth, yani, is the objective. Okay, after this, the Shaykh, he mentioned this ayah, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعَتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, yani, to prepare for them whatever you are able of strength or power. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 60th Ayah. And then he says, فَاللَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُنْصُرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْ يَقْتُلُوا الْكُفَّارِ كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى ذَلِكَ وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. Yani, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well able. He has the ability and the power to overcome, yani, to give, yani, success, to give support, to give victory to the Muslims, and to remove the disbelievers, to kill them, to remove them, to destroy them. This is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 4th Ayah, ذَلِكَ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. Yani, ذَلِكَ, meaning here, that which is mentioned before it, the ayahs before it. Yani, that Allah commanded the people, the Muslims, to fight in jihad, in the way of Allah. He commanded them to do that, and if they overcame the people, to take captives, to release them or to ransom them. He said, ذَلِكَ, what has been mentioned before this, this command, yani the fighting in the way of Allah, as a means of test, as a test and a trial between the believers and the disbelievers. He said, that is what has been mentioned, yani, this is the affair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned previously. Because for wisdom Allah intended to bring about some objective. And the Shaykh mentions something related to that and what follows. But he said, but if Allah had willed, Allah could have overcome them. Allah could have destroyed them without the people fighting, without jihad. Allah can destroy them Himself. So the Shaykh, he says here, that indeed, after mentioning this ayat, he says, Allah is able to destroy the disbelievers in one moment, in one instance, and to give relief to the Muslims from them. However, He intended, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ بِحِكْمَتِهِ أَرَادَ. Allah intended, based upon His perfect wisdom. He intended, and He has an objective, or goal, or that which He intends to achieve, to bring about. And the first of those things, he said, أَنْ يَبْتَلِي هَؤُلَاءِ بِهَؤُلَاءِ لِإِعْلَاءِ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So the first thing from the wisdom of Allah that He intends to achieve by the legislation of jihad is to test the people, some of them by others. Yani, the people to be tested by one another. Yani, that the believers would be tested. Yani, with going out and fighting to establish the deen of Allah. And if they died in the way of Allah, they will enter Jannah. And the other people, if they died in that fight, they will enter the hellfire. He said, but the purpose of this is to raise up, to elevate the word of Allah. That is La ilaha illallah. So this is the first thing that he mentions, that it is a test. The people being tested, some of them by others, but for the objective, the main purpose is to elevate the word of Allah, to make it supreme, to establish the deen of Allah, that is the Tawheed. Secondly, he said, أَرَادَ حُصُولَ الشَّهَادَ لِلْمُسْلِمْ فِي سَبِيلِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended as an objective that some of the Muslims would attain a shahada. Yani, that they would be a shaheed if they were killed, if they died fighting in the way of Allah. So this is a tremendous rank, a station, an honor that some people would achieve. That they were willing to go out to establish the deen of Allah on the earth. They were willing to go out and fight and even be killed. And if they're killed in the way of Allah, yani with that as their objective and their intent, yani sincerely for the sake of Allah, they will achieve this extremely yani precious station or status of being a shaheed. The third thing he said, that Allah arada husul al-jihad min awliya'illah bi-badhli al-ruh wal-nafs wal-muhaj wal-amwal ta'atan lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْجِهَادُ إِبَادَةٌ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَنْوَاعِ الْإِبَادَةِ The third thing he said is so that the jihad itself, the action of going out in jihad for the sake of Allah, would be achieved yani by some of his awliya, the people who have iman and taqwa. That some of them would establish the jihad, and in the process of doing so, they would expend or they would yani exert themselves with everything that they have, their spirit and their soul and their blood and their wealth, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that they give everything that they have as an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, this is very important that the Shaykh says here, that the person gives their spirit, they give their soul, their life, their blood and their wealth, ta'atan lillahi, meaning that they are doing this not haphazardly without a purpose or an objective, but they are doing it as an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of worship. Therefore the Shaykh says, so this fighting in the way of Allah as an act of obedience to Allah, subject to the sharia of Allah and the laws of Allah, this is an ibadah which is from the greatest types of ibadah. It's from the greatest types of worship, yani that a person in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give everything that they have precious, their wealth and their health and their lives. Then the Shaykh, he says, and here I'm going to go back to just a quick note, yani that every act of ibadah has conditions. And the general conditions of worship is that, number one, it has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah. And number two, that it has to be done in accordance with the sharia, with the law of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So likewise, yani fighting in the way of Allah, also it has conditions. General conditions, it has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, and in accordance with the sharia. Not just people recklessly, yani endangering the lives of innocent people, men, women, or children, just because they happen to be, yani not Muslims, non-Muslims. And then, as we mentioned, that there are also specific conditions for jihad, and from amongst them is that there has to be permission from the Muslim ruler, from the Wali al-Amr. The Shaykh, he says here, if Allah had destroyed the disbelievers with a punishment from himself, yani without legislating jihad, then these previously mentioned benefits would have been lost, and jihad would become inoperative, yani it wouldn't take place. And in that case, nobody would achieve this station of shahada, yani being a shaheed. Nobody would achieve this great station. Nor would people, yani, manifest the sidq of their iman billahi. Yani the truthfulness of their iman billahi is manifested in what? That a person is willing to give up whatever they have. Yani their lives and their wealth and whatever they own. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested and tried the believers to see which of them are sadiquna fi imanihim, which of them are truthful, are sincere in their claim to iman. And that is because the one who is truthful in his iman, he is willing to go out and fight in the way of Allah and to, yani, give up his life and his wealth and his comfort, li'i'la'i kalimatillah, for the ultimate purpose of elevating the word of Allah, yani, tawheed, la ilaha illallah. As far as the munafiq, the hypocrite, the one who claims iman, but he is a liar, he is not truthful in his claim, then this one would abstain and refrain and withdraw from jihad and delay the jihad, and this would make clear, yani, the difference, yani, between the hypocrisy and the person who has true iman. Therefore, in jihad against the disbelievers, there are benefits. There are benefits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ayat mentioned previously in Surah Al-Anfal, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَاعُتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. So prepare, make preparations for them, whatever you are able, of power. He says here that the meaning of this, preparations, A, and he prepare to fight against the disbelievers, that this preparation, or yani, that the fighting against the disbelievers, it will not be achieved merely by speech. It will not be achieved merely by supplication alone. Even though supplicating is a beautiful thing, and it is a strong weapon. However, it's not sufficient by itself. Rather, it is necessary that a person actually has to get up and go out and yani, be willing to sacrifice their wealth and their lives for the establishment of the deen of Allah and the raising of the word of Tawheed in the earth. Yani, in other words, what is achieved by jihad is that which is not achieved simply by speech alone, but rather there has to be utilizing the means. And this jihad will not occur except by there being preparations, because preparations are means for victory. Yani, without preparations, there is no expectation of victory. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, prepare for them what are you able to prepare. Of quwwa, meaning weapons, strength of provisions, strength of yani, instruments or tools of war. And yani, for every time there are yani, tools or instruments or weapons that are necessary for that particular time in accordance with what is necessary at that time. Again, he says that, and going back to the point of it is not sufficient that we just put our trust in Allah alone, but rather that people have to get up and go out and sacrifice. He said, we do not say that since we are the Muslims and we are the believers and they are disbelievers, then we will have victory over them simply due to our iman without utilizing the means. This is not correct. But it is a necessity in order to achieve victory, yani that the means be utilized. And it is also a necessity that people be tried and that people be tested and that people make a sacrifice. It is also necessary that people be tried and tested and sacrificed and that they do those things which would prove and indicate the truthfulness of their iman. Here the Shaykh, he mentions from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 2nd and 3rd Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people believe, imagine that they will be left alone and saying, we believe and they will not be tested or tried? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And indeed, we have tested and tried the people before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So that Allah will make known those who are truthful in their claim of iman, and He will make known those who are liars. هذه هي حكمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني this, what is contained in these ayat, entail the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a test for the people to determine, to make manifest who are those who are truthful in their claim to iman, yani that their iman, their claim to iman is supported and confirmed by them actually taking action, not just speech on the tongue. Yani utilizing the means, yani when a person utilizes the means and they do the action that's required, then this is a proof of what they're claiming on their tongue. And the proof of what they're claiming is in their heart, is manifested by action. So the Shaykh says, لَبُدَّ فِي الْجِهَادِ الْكُفَّارِ مِنْ أَمْرَيْنِ. So in fighting against the disbelievers, there are two matters that are necessary. الْعَمْرُ الْأَوَّلُ وَهُوَ الْأَسَاسُ تَوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And the first matter, and it is the foundation of the whole. It is the foundation, the asas. It is putting one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second matter that's also necessary, i'adad al-quwwa, yani preparing, yani the strength, yani making preparations. I'adad al-difa' al-munasib li-kulli waqt, yani preparing one's appropriate, the defense that is appropriate for yani every particular time period that the people are living. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. So it is a necessity that both of these be utilized. The foundation is putting one's trust in Allah, but also along with it, yani it has to be combined with preparing one's strength and preparing one's defense. Then the Shaykh, he gives us another extension of this particular topic. He goes back to history and brings us an example from history of how these two things are necessary. That how it's necessary to put one's trust in Allah, to depend upon Allah, to rely upon Allah, to have confidence in Allah, seeking help from Him, and also to actually get up and go out and confront the enemies of Islam. The necessity of combining these two matters, he says, it is for this reason that when the event or the occasion of Uhud, the battle of Uhud took place, and what took place in that battle occurred, meaning the events that took place in the battle of Uhud, including the test and trials of the believers, and the injuries that took place, and the deaths of the many Muslims who were killed in that event. He says, when that happened, the disbelievers turned away. They left. But as they left, they began to consult with one another. The disbelievers consulted with one another. And they said, we haven't done anything to Muhammad and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they didn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, we haven't done anything to him and his companions. And in other words, the wounds that we inflicted on them, the death that we inflicted on them, is nothing. We need to go back. They said, we're going to go back and we're going to finish them off. So they sent to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam a message saying that we're going to return. We're coming back to you and we're going to bring a big force. And we're going to destroy you. Annihilate you completely. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, even though what had been inflicted upon them in terms of death and wounds and injuries, in spite of that, they went out and they hastened to go out, to leave the city of Medina and to go in pursuit of the enemy. And some of them, were weakened by their wounds and their injuries. And in spite of that, even those who were injured with their injuries, they didn't remain behind, but they all went out, such that not one of them remained behind in Medina. Not one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ remained behind in Medina. So when the news reached the disbelievers that the Muslims had gone out, that they had come out in pursuit of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused fear to descend upon the hearts of the disbelievers. And the disbelievers said, that they haven't come out in pursuit of us except because they must have some strength. They are ready to go to battle again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused fear to enter their hearts and they fled. The disbelievers fled. Instead of their intent to come back, they left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed on that occasion these ayats from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 172nd, 173rd ayat. الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح. That those, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who responded to Allah and His Messenger, to go back out in spite of their wounds and their injuries and what had been inflicted upon them in the battle, in spite of all of that, to go out. He said, those who responded to Allah and His Messenger after what had been inflicted upon them, للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم. That those who did well, who performed well, who did what was right, and they observe taqwa, there will be for them a great reward. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They are those who, when it was said to them by the hypocrites that the people, the Quraysh and their allies have gathered together, to fight against you, so fear them, this only caused them to have an increase in iman, and they said, merely Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best one to dispose of our affairs. The Shaykh says, so when the threat of the disbelievers reached the Muslims, they didn't say anything more than these words, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. They put their trust in Allah. They depended and relied upon Allah. In spite of their condition of weakness, nonetheless they put their trust in Allah. They said, Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best one to dispose of our affairs. And they didn't leave it at that. Yani just the statement of putting their trust in Allah, rather they went out. They got up and they went out and they utilized the means, and they combined between putting the trust in Allah and utilizing the means. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, yani from these ayat, 174th and 175th ayat, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ. So they returned, they went back, yani having achieved the favor and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any harm, yani falling upon them. لَمْ يَمْسَسْحُمْ سُوءٌ. No evil came to them. وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. And they went out following, seeking the pleasure of Allah. وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. And Allah is the one who possesses a magnificent, tremendous, yani bounty, that he gave to those who yani sought his pleasure, yani who followed the commands of the Prophet ﷺ and went out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them yani success in that, yani he caused the disbelievers to leave. And then Allah closes yani these ayahs by saying, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani so he said that this yani is merely yani the shaitan who's attempting to cause people to have fear of his allies, yani his followers. This is merely the shaitan trying to put fear into the hearts of people from his allies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so don't fear them, but rather fear me, if indeed you are believers. So a sign of iman is that the people put their trust in Allah, and they don't fear yani anyone or anything other than Allah. Then the shaykh closes here with this, yani this particular point, before he goes to another ayat that is the final yani part of what he says concerning this particular topic. He says, so the natija, fakanat an-natija lil-mu'minina bisababi tawakkulihim ala Allah wa bisababi fi'lihim lil-asbab. So the end result, the good result, was for the believers. This due to what? Due to their putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to their utilizing the means. And if they had remained in Medina and they hadn't gone out to follow the disbelievers, and if they had merely spoke some speech, some soft speech with the disbelievers, yani containing weakness as opposed to showing strength, then the disbelievers would have in reality returned and would have tried to uproot them, to destroy them, to annihilate them completely. However, when they said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, and Allah is sufficient for us, and He's the best one to dispose of our affairs, and they got up after that. They expressed the speech of reliance upon Allah, putting their trust in Allah, that Allah is sufficient for them, but then they also got up and they went out. So therefore the result was that they returned with having earned the bounty and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any harm, yani being afflicted upon them. Here the shaykh, he says, هل هذه النتيجة حصلت مع راحة وترك السبب وبزعم التوكل على الله فقط أو حصلت بمجموع الأمرين؟ يعني did this result, this success, this ultimate victory for the believers, was it achieved يعني just through الراحة, يعني people resting, making speech, claiming يعني توكل على الله without doing anything, without utilizing the means, or as they claim, putting their trust just in Allah alone? Was the natija, the result, the good result, the end, the success achieved just by claiming to put their trust in Allah, or was it achieved by combining these two affairs, the tawakkul ala Allah along with utilizing the means? Yani the answer is clear, that they were only successful because they did put their trust in Allah, and the real reality of trusting in Allah, it requires utilizing the means to achieve the goal, yani to bring about some good or to repel some harm. And then he says, وَهَكَذَا دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا وَهَذِهِ سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ فِي خَلْقِهِ أَنَّ مَنْ تَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ وَاتَّخَذَ الْأَسْبَابَ النَّافِيَةَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى لَا يُخِيبُ سَعْيَهُمْ بَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يُكْرِمُهُمْ وَيُحَقِّقُ لَهُمْ مَا أَرَادَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. So he said, in this same way, this is how it is. دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا, always and forever. Yani this is the sunnah of Allah amongst His creatures, His creation, that whoever puts their trust in Him and utilize the beneficial means, these two things, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cause their effort to be wasted, to be lost. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor them and he will enable them to realize, to achieve yani the khair, the good that they intended. After this, the Shaykh, we're going to stop here with this, but after this, the Shaykh mentions another ayat, inshallah, which we'll talk about next week, because it's closest to the time. A few more pages related to this. He mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 102nd ayah, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ أَذَابًا مُهِينًا وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. So take every precaution. Indeed, Allah has prepared for the disbelievers humiliating punishment. And this ayah we're going to talk about next week, inshallah, and that which follows to the end of this topic, that the Shaykh talks about combining between putting one's trust in Allah and utilizing the necessary means. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the believers to take precautions. And then he mentions with certainty that indeed Allah has prepared a humiliating punishment for the disbelievers, but nonetheless utilizing the means necessary for the believers. We're going to stop with this here today. I just want to mention one point before we close this, we're going to stop in the book. But I just wanted to save a couple of minutes because I wanted to share with us a fa'ida, a benefit that I thought relevant to our topic of putting our trust in Allah. A couple of days ago, on Wednesday, I was in contact with a very close friend of mine, brother I've known for a long time. This is a personal event, but I think the benefit that came from it, for me, inshallah, should be shared with everyone. And that is, brother who had been sick for some time, actually over the past years, for some years now, I don't know, maybe 10 years, he had a heart attack, several heart attacks. He went to the hospital a few times and finally he decided that next time I have a heart attack, all they're going to do is give me medication and tell me to sit in the hospital bed. I'm going to sit at home, I'm going to lay in my bed, and I'm going to make dhikr of Allah. And he had maybe 3 or 4 or 5 more heart attacks after that, but he didn't go to the hospital anymore. He just laid in his house and made dhikr and he was okay every time. They told him, a few years ago, if you don't have this operation for this heart trouble, you're going to be dead. You're not going to live long. And he eventually did die, but not from a heart attack. In any case, he was in the hospital, and I was in touch with his family, and we were texting back and forth. I was saying some words of encouragement to them. I had a feeling that he was coming to the end of his time, and Allah only knows how much time we have in this world, but that's the way I was feeling, and I was trying to say some words of encouragement to them. And I was writing to them these ayat. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. I was writing those ayahs to them, and I was looking at the tafsir, and I was trying to explain some of the tafsir to them as an encouragement to them, because I thought that his time was coming to an end. At that time, while I was writing, I was reading the tafsir of As-Sa'di, and I was explaining to them some of what Allah was saying in these ayahs about the sabr, and that Allah is with the people of patience, and to give good news to the people of patience. And those people who, from the greatest of the means of their achieving their patience and the reward that Allah promised for them in the end of the ayah, was that they would say, when a calamity befell them, they would say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. While I was writing that to them, they sent me a message and said, he passed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Not long after that, maybe 20 minutes later, somebody sent me another message. Another person that I knew for 40 years, a brother that I knew, had also passed away at the same time. One of them, in another country, in Qatar, and the other one in America, almost at the same time. And these were brothers, both of them, that I knew for more than 25 years, one of them for 40 years. When I was reading these ayat and reading the tafsir, I felt like it was a tremendous message here. The ayat are somewhat lengthy, we don't have a lot of time, so I don't go through the whole of it. But I just want to put it in context that in these ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, يَا يَلَذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ مَا الصَّابِرِينَ. So the first thing, that the benefit that came to me from this, is that Allah is addressing the believers. And He's telling the believers that whatever you are faced with, whatever it might be, seek help in sabr and salat. And the Shaykh explains, sabr, how there's a benefit in sabr, and how there's a benefit in salat. How these are things, these are means to help you when you are in trouble, when you're in difficulty, when you have some hardship, when affliction befalls you. And Allah mentions in these ayats that we will test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. They will test you with something of fear and hunger, And these are things that everybody experienced: fear, hunger, loss of wealth or lives or property or wealth or crops. And that these are things that people will be tested with. But Allah says, what? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give the glad tidings, the good news to those who are patient. Whatever you're faced with in this world, if it was, as in this case, the loss of your loved one, or if it was other than that, whatever it is, بَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give the glad tidings to those who are patient. Yani that those who are patient, they're going to be okay. They're going to make it. Allah is telling you, you're going to be good. Your situation is going to be fine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after this that they, He describes them as they are those who, الَّذِينَ إِذَا صَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Yani those people that He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا صَابِرِينَ, He is with those who are patient. And yani not the general ma'iyah, that Allah is with everything in the creation by His knowledge and His power, but مَا صَابِرِينَ in a special way, that is, He supports and aids and assists and defends and protects them and takes care of them. Allah is with the sabirin. And Allah said, give good news to the sabirin. And this shows us the importance of patience. And then in this ayat, Shaykh As-Sa'di says that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing those people who are patient. That He said, Bashir al-Sabirin. That He said, Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. They are those who say, when an affliction befalls them, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read what the Shaykh said, but please go back and read it. And the key, the core of it, of what he said, is that the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, that He is with them, and the people who He has given the glad tidings to, are people who are described as being, when an affliction befalls them, they acknowledge, they recognize, they accept that they belong to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That we belong to Allah, that He is our Rabb, He is the one who controls our affair. He owns us, and He owns whatever we possess. And therefore He can do with us whatever He wills. And whatever He wills is best for us, because He's Arhamur Rahimeen. And He is more merciful to a person than they are to their own self. So the person who knows that, who is aware of that, who's conscious of that, who acknowledges that, who accepts that reality, that we belong to Allah. This is the first characteristic of those people who Allah said He's with the Sabireen. And give good news to the Sabireen. That they acknowledge this reality, that we belong to Allah. And He can do whatever He wills. And we have no complaint. We don't contest. We don't have any argument about what Allah has done with us. Because whatever He has done with us is what's best for us. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And this is the second thing that they say. The second reality that they acknowledge, that they accept, that they realize, that they're conscious of, they have in the forefront of their mind, when a calamity befalls them, they immediately pronounce these statements. They acknowledge from their heart the reality that we belong to Allah, and also that to Him we will return. Yani that we are going to die, that everybody's going to die, and we're going to be resurrected, and we're going to return to Allah, and Allah is going to reward the people, yani in accordance with their deeds. Here specifically, Allah is going to reward the people who are patient for their patience. Allah is going to if a calamity befalls you and you're patient with it because you know that Allah has decreed it, and you accept that He knows what's best, so you're patient with it, Allah is going to reward that. These two realities, knowing that we belong to Allah and that He does with us whatever He wills, knowing that we're going to return to Him, that if we're patient, He's going to reward us. He said these, the Shaykh, he said, Shaykh As-Sa'di, he said that these are two of the strongest means through which a person can achieve sabr. And when a calamity befalls, whether it's loss of wealth or health or loved ones, and the person who acknowledges, who has in their heart this reality, that we belong to Allah, He can do whatever He wills with us and that which we possess and those whom we love. And if we are patient with what He has decided for us, which is best for us, even if we don't realize it at the time, even if we don't realize that that's what's best for us, and when you lose a loved one, and you don't maybe feel that this is what's best, but if you know that Allah is the one who controls the affair, and He has decided that, then you know that this is best. So even if you don't realize it at the time, it is best. So a person has to accept that and say, we belong to Allah, He does whatever He will. And if we are patient, inshallah, He's going to reward us. He said that this is from the greatest means. And this acknowledgement of this reality, this acceptance in the heart, is from the greatest means of sabr, which is the thing that in the beginning of these ayat that Allah said, O you who believe, seek assistance in all of your affairs, in any situation that you have, through patience and salat. And this is one of those two things that is the sabr. He said that in the end of the ayat, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. that these, the people who are patient with the trials and the calamity before them, they will have the salawat of their Rabb upon them and his rahmah, and they will have the hidayah, guidance. The Shaykh, he says that the salawat of Allah is the praise of Allah, and Allah is acknowledging their good state, the good state of these people of sabr, the people of sabr, al-sabirin. And the rahmah, he said, it is a tremendous great rahmah, and from the rahmah of Allah is that he has given these people success to be patient. The patience through which they achieve this great reward, the salawat of Allah, the praise of Allah, and the rahmah of Allah, and the hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that from the rahmah of Allah is that he has given them success to, yani, be patient, through which they achieve this great reward. And he said also they are those who are guided, meaning they came to الَّذِينَ عَرَفُوا الْحَقِّ وَعَمَلُوا بِهِ. Yani, the people who are guided are the people who came to know the truth and who acted upon it. He said here, knowing the truth, it means the truth in this particular ayah, the truth is that they knew the reality that they belong to Allah and that they're going to return to Him. And the acting upon it is that they faced it with patience. They met it with patience. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, they said that he said, ni'ma al-idlan wa ni'mat al-ilawa. In reference to this ayah, he said, blessed are the two, yani, idlan. And blessed is the ilawa. Yani, the idlan are the two, yani, sides of the beast of, yani, the camel. Yani, they have two, yani, sacks on both sides. Yani, that he's carrying equal weight. And the ilawa, he said, and the ilawa is extra above and beyond that. So he said the two, yani, idlan, it is the salawat of the Rabb and the rahmah. That these people will get, yani, the praise of their Lord and His mercy. And the ilawa, the extra, even above and beyond that they will get, that is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people of sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, yani, to realize the importance of a sabr, and to know that from the greatest means of sabr is to recognize and to acknowledge the reality that we belong to Allah. He can do whatever He wills. We shouldn't complain, and we should accept and be pleased with whatever He has decreed for us, knowing that it's best for us. And knowing that if we are patient with it, when we return to Him, inshallah, there will be a great reward. I'm going to stop here with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's anything that we left that was unclear, inshallah, we can attempt to clarify anything that was unclear, especially about the last part, trying to rush through it. Naam. Yeah, fadl.
So, what it sounds like, that the intent behind patience, to remember our obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to not testify His reward based upon the tribulation. And that by doing those two things, you've exhibited the patience that's necessary to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, I agree. But if you will repeat it, we'll benefit more.
So, you know, what I understood was that, you know, the patience, what's required for us of patience, is that we remember our obedience of Allah, that we remember we are slaves of Allah in the circumstances.
I just want to repeat that in case the microphone is not picking it up for anybody who's with us, inshallah. That what is required of us is to remember our ubudiyyah of Allah. Yani, that we have to remember that we are, yani, the people who, yani, are in the state of ubudiyyah, yani, created to worship Allah alone. Naam.
And that we seek His reward, and that's the thing that you make it about your own, that we seek His reward in this trial. If we do those two things together, then we have exhibited the patience necessary to receive His praise and His mercy.
We recognize our ubudiyyah, and we also seek Allah's reward. Yani, ihtisab. Yani, we expect and anticipate and hope for Allah's reward due to patience. Yani, we expect Allah's reward. So these two things together are what is required of us, yani, in order to achieve the patience that is mentioned here. Yeah, and I am saying from before already that I agree 100%. I just wanted you to repeat it so I can repeat it in the microphone. I was trying to repeat it the way you were saying it. Yani. Now, so these two things, the ubudiyyah, acknowledging, recognizing, accepting our state of ubudiyyah, that we're created to worship Allah alone. Yani, the human being was not created for anything, human beings didn't accept, to worship Allah. So this is our ubudiyyah. This acknowledgement, and also hoping for, yani, acknowledging that, and then hoping for the reward of Allah, that Allah has promised to those who are patient. Yani if we accept, recognize, and are pleased with what Allah has decreed for us because of our state of ubudiyyah, then inshaAllah, yani, this is what is required of us. Yani this is the patience that's required of us. And these are the people that yani Allah has mentioned that he has a special relationship with them. In Allah ma'as sabireen. And these are the people that Allah commanded that we give the glad tidings to these people, that they be giving glad tidings, yani of the pleasure of Allah and the reward of Allah and the support and aid and comfort yani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something to strive for indeed. And may Allah make us to realize, to reflect upon our ubudiyyah, that we belong to Allah. And may He help us to also recognize and to realize and to accept that we are going to return to Him. And that's an inspiration to us, yani, to do what's necessary in order to achieve the great reward that Allah has in store for those who believe and do good deeds by His mercy and His favor, indeed. And with all of our shortcomings, now. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fikum. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.